are humbled if they pray and seek my face. If they turn away from evil, I will not withhold my grace. I will hear their prayer from heaven. I will pardon every sin. If my people's hearts are humbled, I will surely heal their land. Then eyes will see their sorrow, then my ears will hear their plea. If my people's hearts are humbled, I will set their nation free. If my people's hearts are humbled, if they pray and seek my face, if they turn away from evil, I will not withhold my grace.
That's what we need. Amen. We'll go ahead and dismiss our kids to their class at this time, junior church. Thank you, Mrs. Tyner.
We can sing a happy birthday to someone.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 this morning. Yes, be sure to tell Miss Gloria happy birthday. We're glad you're with us today. With all your family here, glad to see them. I want to speak to you on a subject this morning that you may be able to say amen to. I know most of you will. There's a few things, though, that we'll consider about this subject where we may not be saying amen quite as much, because as I begin to study the subject, it spoke to my heart and even convicted me as well. You're there in Romans 13. We'll begin reading in verse 1 just because of context. It says, "Let every soul," that is us, every one of us, "be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." You do understand, folks, that any human authority is delegated authority from the hand of God. And as much as is possible, we are to be subject, to willingly submit ourselves to the authorities that God has placed. "Whoso therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God." If it's delegated from him, then if we resist his delegated authority, we are resisting him. "And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation," judgment. "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." Our society needs to understand this. Instead of being negative towards authority figures, obey the law and have a good attitude. "For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." Even to the highest degree of punishment, God has delegated that to human government. In fact, in this it says he beareth not the sword in vain. That's even the delegated authority of capital punishment. Is that biblical? Yes, it is, in appropriate manners. Verse 5, "Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." Not just because you're afraid, but for your conscience before God. "For this cause pay ye tribute also." That's why we pay taxes. "For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing." And this is the verse really where we come to today. "Render therefore," this is the conclusion of all this information, "to all their dues." That's what we did this morning. "Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." Now, I submit to you this morning that as a society we have left the concept of honor behind. Do you pick up on that?
Yes.
Yeah. We're not a society that honors, and here it is, we're not a society that honors the honorable. We honor many things today that have nothing to do with honorable behavior. Our society has come to a place where we honor those who entertain us and dishonor those who provide for us, serve us, protect us, and lead us. And as we look at Scripture today, I want to show you that honoring others is not just a way of being nice. It's not archaic. It's not old-fashioned. It's obedience to God's Word, and it's critical to our society. God wants His children, God wants us to honor Him by honoring others, by having honorable behavior, and by refusing to honor sin. I want to preach to you this morning, honor restored. Honor restored. Would you bow with me? Lord, please help us as we study what Your Word says today. Help us to stay on tracks. Please speak through me to the extent that Your Scripture does. Guide us. I pray that You would realign our values today. And if there's an area of dishonor in our lives, that You'd point it out that we may change. In Your name I pray. Amen. You know, I was looking through, I thought, okay, it won't be too hard. I'll just do a word study on the word honor in Scripture. That shouldn't be too hard, right? Oh my goodness. I spent several hours on that and didn't get to the end of it. Merriam-Webster's 1828 dictionary, which really most closely corresponds with the King James Bible, uses the word honor as both a noun and a verb. As a noun, the word honor, you would say the honor of an individual is at risk. You're speaking of their reputation, you know, that is my honor. A verb, you would say you choose to honor someone. We chose to honor our veterans today. We chose to recognize and give value to their reputation. In fact, there's 14 different definitions, and each a little bit different. But today we're going to look at the word as it pertains to being a verb, something that we should do. We should honor other people. Romans 13:7 says, give honor to whom honor is due. Now, I was looking at it the way it's used in Scripture. It's used to revere, to respect, to treat with deference and submission and service. Exodus 20 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's used to show not just to revere, but to reverence with the highest veneration. In other words, worship. Jesus uses it this way, speaking of God, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. It means to dignify, to raise to distinction or to exalt, and also to glorify. Exodus puts it this way. God says, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh. In the midst of the plagues, as he judged Egypt for their false worship of false gods, he would receive glory and honor. The words used in the Old Testament, it's interesting, the word most often used translated honor, there's about half a dozen different words translated honor in the Old Testament. The one used most frequently, it's used 115 times, and it means to be heavy or weighty, to be honorable, burdensome, communicates the gravity of something, both literally and physically. And so it means this, that to honor, it is something that carries weight, is of significance, or is valued. Proverbs chapter 3 puts it this way. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance. He is to be valued in the way that we use the things that we have. In the New Testament, there's two words. One means to bring glory to and to worship, and the other means to place value, esteem, or give dignity to. In fact, that's the majority of the time in the New Testament the word is used. It means to value something, to esteem it, or to give dignity. So how we're going to use the word today, a working definition this morning, let's put all those together, boil them down. How do we honor someone? And I believe it's this way. When we treat them with value, with importance, with respect, and with significance, when they carry weight in our life and in our heart, whether because they deserve it, because their position deserves it. Sometimes people have a position that must be honored, even if they're not an honorable individual. You do understand that, right? We are to honor the position. Or because we're commanded to. That's how we honor someone. And I would say, folks, beyond that, we are to live lives worthy of honor. Honorable. Honor is deserved when someone does something worthy of value, importance, respect, or significance. And that is how we must conduct our lives. And so as we look at Scripture today, that's how we're using the word honor. So who is it that we should honor? Well, I believe ultimately the one that deserves all honor is the Lord. Isaiah 48 puts it this way. He says, "For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted?" God is speaking. "I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call them together, they stand up." Together. We serve the one true God today. Do you realize that? There are many gods worshipped around the world. How many of them are true and real, Pastor? Only one. He created heaven and earth. He loved us when we were yet sinners. He decided before the world began that he would rescue and salvage our lives. He gave his powerful word and preserved it for us today. Not just given, but preserved miraculously. He came to earth as a human, died on the cross for our sins, and rose again, offering us life. He saved us when we called upon him. He's preparing a place for us in his house. He answers our prayers and works in our lives today. He's worthy of honor. He's powerful, wise, righteous, holy, yet merciful, gracious, and patient, and he deserves all honor and glory. So how can we honor God today? How do we value God? I would say, first of all, we give him priority in our lives. That's really the significance of when he says to the children of Israel in the book of Exodus, he says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Now, sometimes people read that and they miss the significance of that prepositional phrase, "before me." And what they think is, I shouldn't have any other gods that are above God in importance. Do you realize that God is not fine with you having any other gods in your life? He's not saying, if you have other gods, I just want to be first place. No, that doesn't even make sense. When he says, no other gods before me, you do recognize that everything we do is before him. He sees all things. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the earth. He sees all and he knows all. And what he's saying is, I want to be the only God in your life. Give him priority. The glory he deserves, the importance in our life. And I would say beyond that, not just priority in our lives, but respect due his name. Exodus chapter 20 says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." That means to use it without significance or empty, throwing it around carelessly. The way we treat our God's name in our speech and in our reputation. Listen, if you take the name Christian, you're attaching the name of Christ to your life. And when you do that, how do you live your life? Do you treat the title Christian with little value? If so, you're taking the name of God in vain through your actions. The way we live our life communicates the value we place on the God that we worship, whether he is the Lord of our life or not. And that's how we honor God. With a priority in our life and how we live our life, how we represent him to the world. I'll remind you of what 2 Corinthians says. It says, now we are ambassadors for Christ. Our life, if it is to honor the Lord, should bring glory to God. What people think about God is based on the children of God. Now, you do that with some people sometimes. You meet their children and you automatically judge them based on how their kids act. Be careful. They might meet your kids one day. Okay? Now you say, Pastor, that's pretty self-serving. We judge you because of your kids. Yeah, I know. Okay, whatever. But that's how the world looks at Christ. They don't know Christ, but they know people who call themselves Christians. And how we honor God is when our life elevates God in the eyes of the world around us. So what does the world think about your God based on your life? If your life brings glory to him, that's honoring God. I would say next, not just these things, but obeying him. Obeying God honors him. Isaiah 29, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth, and their lips do they honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me. In fact, Jesus condemned the religious leaders of his day. He said, well, Isaiah hath prophesied of you hypocrites. This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far. Christian, how we obey him honors the Lord. We can say a lot of pretty things with our mouths, but our heart and our actions really are what God wants to be changed. So you cannot honor the Lord and live in disobedience to God's word at the same time. Do you understand that? That's not honoring to him. The way we treat his word communicates the way that we value our Lord. In fact, I would say this, to honor God's word is to honor the God of the word. To honor his word with our behavior is to honor him. Psalm 138 puts it this way. It says, I will worship toward my holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Psalm 138, verse 2. And how we treat his word, giving it priority in our life, communicates how that we honor our God. So if obeying God is honoring to him, one thing that God commands us to do is to honor others. Sometimes we have the idea, well, my relationship with God is okay, it's just people I can't stand. Anybody ever felt that way? You know? I've heard preachers say that. The ministry, how's your ministry going? Great, except for the people, you know? And I say, I don't know what you're talking about, you know? No. We are commanded to honor others. I'd say the first one is the first one mentioned in Scripture, and that's parents. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, you probably could quote it with me. God is speaking to Moses there, giving the Ten Commandments, and he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Parents are the first category of people God commands us to honor. And really, when you're born, those are the first authority figures in your life that you need to learn to honor. Deuteronomy says the same thing, and so does Ephesians chapter 2. If you had kids, it's probably a passage you quoted to them. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's interesting, that promise kind of has teeth to it, because it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. What's the inclination if you don't honor them? You're not going to make it, kid. All kidding aside, we have failed here as a nation. Not just in falling from honoring the Lord, but falling from honoring parents. And by the way, it's no accident. It's a orchestrated attack by the accuser, by the one who wants to tear down the things of God. Parental authority is minimized and undermined on a daily basis. Hollywood, many, many shows mocking parents and tearing down their authority. Even in our government schools today, overruling parents and teaching children that they have more of an allegiance to the government school than to their own parents. And sometimes parents not behaving in honorable ways. It's an orchestrated attack on authority in the home. See, children learn to honor God as they learn to honor their parents. Do you understand as parents that you are the first representative of God's authority? All power is from God. That's right. Parental authority is. And the parent is the first delegated authority in a child's life. And so through learning obedience and honoring the parent, they learn to value and honor all authority, God included. Many times people struggle to relate to their heavenly father because of the bad relationship they've had with their earthly father. It carries over. It's very important to reinforce that. And our honor of everything else has suffered. It undermines the structure of honor in the home. We as a society, we struggle. Even in churches, we have no idea how to honor the Lord because we did not learn early. And so you say, how do you honor your parents, Pastor? Well, I think so, not just in childhood, but also in adulthood. You realize there's never a shutoff point where children should stop honoring their parents. I like this verse, and I've quoted it to my parents before. I've laughed about it with my mother. It says, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. When's your mom old? You better never call her old. But you know what that means. We're to honor our parents when they are the authority, and we're to continue honoring them when they need our care. And I think by extension, This applies to our elderly as well, to value, to cherish them, to care for them as they cared for us and even more. And though the roles may change as children grow, as teenagers begin to flex their personal freedom and their free will, they need to honor their parents. And as they grow into adults and their parents begin to become more elderly, they need to honor them. Our grandparents and elderly, old folks, they're to be revered, honored, valued, and loved. Leviticus says this. It says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, that is the white hair. In our age today, many folks that are elderly don't want to have white hair, and so they color it. The Bible honors it. I love white hair. Maybe one day I'll get some. It'll turn white or turn loose, right? That's what Brother Gordon always says. He tells folks that. It says, honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. Inseparably linked, I am the Lord, God says, adding his authority to this. You know, through the weakening of the family and the shifting of priorities, our elderly are put away and neglected many times. And folks, that's ungodly. Our lack of honor for the elderly reveals that our heart is not in tune with God's. Parents, but I would also say husbands and wives. The way we treat our spouse is to be with honor. 1 Peter puts it this way, men. You'll love this one. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. You always hear men say, I just don't understand women. Well, you need to try harder. All right. It might involve some communication. Shut off the ball game and talk. All right. I know this is convicting. I don't even watch ball games. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving, here it is, honor unto the wife. Amen. As unto the weaker vessel. You're allowed to say that. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, there's teeth in this one too, that your prayers be not hindered. Men, when you don't honor your wife, you know what the Bible is saying? That God says, I'm not going to listen to your prayer. We need to treat our wives with honor. Valuing her, cherishing her in our words, in our responses, our priorities, and in our life. Ladies, you're not off the hook. Ephesians 5 says this, nevertheless, let every one of you so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. What does that mean? Well, it means to be in awe of, to honor his leadership, to give respect, support, be unified with, seek to affirm, not undermine and tear down, and to follow and not frustrate. Honor. You know, as we embrace our roles in marriage, things are different. God can bless our marriages, but loving, sacrificial leadership must take place and respectful, gentle support and following. And one of the reasons, I'll tell you this, one of the reasons our kids don't respect their parents is because their parents don't respect each other. And they see that modeled on a regular basis. The way you speak about your husband when he is not there is the way you're teaching your children to view his leadership. He's incompetent, not trustworthy. No, that's wrong. He's dedicated, yes. Mom, you set the stage. The way you speak about your wife to your children is how they will honor or dishonor her. And by the way, they'll dishonor you as well. So how do you represent your wife? As lazy or as industrious? The best woman in the world, that's what they should think. You know, dishonor in a marriage, I'll say this, is a crack in the wall that the devil will exploit, tempting you with unfaithfulness, bitterness, and criticism. Please, please be careful and heed these words. And when you get married, you become one with another. Your words, your actions, your Facebook posts, your humor, your priorities, your conversations, it ought to be clear to your spouse and everyone else that you honor that individual. To honor. Honoring husbands and wives and parents, and I would say also authorities. Our officers, our elected leaders, supervisors at work, and our spiritual leadership. With some people, we honor them because of their position. Some people, you know, you may have a boss at work who's a reprobate. You can't stand them, but they're your authority. You're told to honor them. We do this out of a desire to honor God. All power is of God. The powers that be ordained are ordained of God. We have a knowledge that God is the one who allows them to be in authority. And when we dishonor those in position of authority, we do so by the flesh, not by faith. Take your Bible and turn over to 2 Peter. I want you to see this. As I was studying this, it really spoke to my heart. And this may step on your toes. If so, that's good. You know, when you throw a stone into a pack of dogs, you know which one got hit? The one that yelps. So don't yelp this morning. But this spoke to my heart, and I realized that sometimes I'm not as careful here as I need to be. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 9. You know, sometimes the actions of authority figures frustrate us. Have you been there before? Yeah. But there's a proper way of responding to dignitaries. Verse 9 says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Do you trust God's running of this world, Christian?
Yes.
Okay, you demonstrate your trust based on how you respond to your authorities. See, if you really do trust Him, then you'll leave it to Him. Because verse 10 says, "Chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government." Ouch. "Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are of greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not." Sometimes we are too free to speak evil of things that we don't know anything about. Be careful, Christian. That's not honoring. There's a lot of dishonorable material shared on social media these days about our duly elected president, members of Congress. Be careful that your communication honors God. That's a good place for an amen. But you know what? Sometimes it steps on our toes. Jude, look over at Jude. Right after 3 John, look at verse 8 of Jude. Look at verse 8. "Likewise also these filthy dreamers," he's pointing out people you and I would not want to be affiliated with. "These filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." They abhor authorities. "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.'" Even the archangel. You know, when we do this and we speak evil and dishonorable toward our authorities, we play to the hands of those who desire division and the one who wants us to be in rebellion. And we get whipped up into a frenzy about things that we do not know anything about. It's not a good testimony. "Pastor, how should I respond?" Well, I'm glad you asked. Look over at 2 Peter or 1 Peter. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 15. Verse 13, sorry. "Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God." Pastor, what's the will of God for my life? That you obey the law to your best of your ability with a good attitude, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. A lot of that going around. Follow the law with a good attitude. And then you say, "Pastor, I don't approve of what they do." Okay, well, look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. How should I respond? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications and prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for," what's his name? "All men, for kings and for all that are in authority." Well, that's going to be hard. Yes, but when we do those, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. See, as we pray for them and God blesses them because of our prayers and He directs them, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. Who's in charge of the kings today? Our God is. We don't have a king today. We have authorities, we have a president, we have a Congress. We should be praying for them. honor your authorities. Honor your spiritual leaders. 1 Timothy 5:17 says this, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor." The word elder there is speaking about the office of the pastor. They rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Your spiritual leader, your pastor, ought to be honored and valued. And I preach to you this because it's in the Word of God, not because you fall down on the job. But it's there. It's biblical. The church has a responsibility to value and to communicate value to its pastor. And as we do so, we honor God. Not to worship, okay? We have one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but to honor. And then we honor other believers. Who surely should we not honor? Well, we should communicate value to each one within the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Amen. Other people around you, other believers, Christian brothers and sisters, children in church, those who have served, those who have sacrificed, hold positions of authority, ought to be honored. Those who have a place of value in our lives must be honored. Our family, our spouses, our children, and other believers for whom Christ died. He thought enough of them to die for them. We should honor them. Amen? Amen. You know, I dare say that we as Christians should be the instruments of change. Now, there are some things not worthy of honor, not to value, not to place priority on or give respect to. And I would say two areas. One is an area of vanity. We give honor to things that are so empty and vain, no eternal value. They may be part of your life. They're not a sin. But friend, they shouldn't have a place of priority. What are you thinking of? Well, I'm thinking of things that are just simply tools to live, money. Should it have a place of honor in your life? No. It's a tool to live and to give.
That's right.
Your job. Well, you have relationships through your job, but sometimes we get attached to it. Your tools, your possessions. Sometimes things are just luxuries, entertainment and hobbies, and they're fine and they're fun. Do they have eternal value?
No.
Not really. Be careful of following the world there. Keep them in their place. You know what our world honors most? Entertainment. People with talent. You know, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing when our world listens most to entertainers and actors who are just, it's vanity. Those who act and play sports have the place of prestige and honor in our society. It's vanity. Be careful of honoring vanity. And be careful of honoring sin, Christian. Sin should never be outvalued or honored. We've reached a place where people are proud of their sin and they're honored by the world around us. Do you understand that? In fact, there's a month of the year where people are proud of their sin. What are you talking about, Pastor? Don't fall into that trap, Christian. I'm thinking, the illustration I'm thinking of is the Gay Pride Month. You know, the agenda that seeks to honor those that are proud about their homosexual lifestyle or coming out as transgender. By the way, there's no such thing as transgender. That's not a thing. There's male and female. I'll read to you what Jesus said. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they're no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. These are not hateful words. They're true words. Don't get mixed up in honoring these things that are not true and not real and sinful. Pastor, are you homophobic? Not at all. Folks, they need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear the truth. The words of Jesus said that. The words of God in Hebrews says marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Don't honor sin. You know, we look around and we see the world and we recognize that our world is losing this element of honor. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get wrapped up and we'll get disgusted in it. It has messed up values, no respect for self or tradition or for God. It honors the wrong things, dishonors the right things, acts completely dishonorable to self. And sometimes we will get upset with the world. Can I encourage you? Don't curse the darkness. Be the light. And I say that with gentleness. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Don't waste your energy through anger against the world. Instead, spend your energy being what God has called us to be, which is the light of the world.
Amen.
We are to be the light of the world. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify Father which is in heaven." If the world does not know how to honor, we ought to show them how through our lives. Amen? Our behavior should be honorable. We represent Him. And I'll tell you this. Turn to this last scripture verse, John chapter 12, verse 26. When we honor God, we will be honored by God. When does that happen? Well, it really depends on Him. In this life, maybe. In the next, sure. He says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Do we serve God so that we will be exalted and honored? No, we're to serve Him to honor Him. But let me tell you this, when you do serve Him, when you seek to give Him all honor and glory with your life, when He is the one, you never lose. You never lose. When we give Him the place of value, respect, and priority in our lives, God will bless our lives. He'll build our testimony. He'll pour out His grace on us for His glory because we represent Him. You know, as we close, Christian, just a couple things to keep in mind. And I ask you this. Do you seek to honor the Lord in your life? Does He have preeminence in your life today? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you were to look around at your life, what things in your life carry the most priority? Our God wants to be the only God. That's communicated through devotion, through trust, through service. Are you actively obeying His word? Oh, I honor God. Are you actively obeying His word? Because you can't honor God and disobey His word at the same time. If you knowingly know His word, seek to obey it faithfully. Now, am I saying you're going to be perfect? No. And God knows you're not. He knoweth our frame that we are but dust. But He calls us to pursue that with our heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, the Bible commands us to do. Do you seek to honor the Lord with your life? If you do, continue. If you don't, and there's an area where God has pointed out, put those things in their priorities. Secondly, do you honor the people in your life? Maybe there's an occurrence that God has pointed out just today that you realize, you know what, this week, or maybe even this morning, I was not honoring towards this person. The way I treated them, the way I responded, the way I acted did not communicate that they were valuable. If the Holy Spirit pointed that out in your life, I got good news for you. You can do something about it. You can. Go and make it right with that person. Apologize and communicate that they're valuable. Do you know how many relationships could be salvaged if we would simply be humble and honor others? Your parents, your spouses, your elders, your leaders. Maybe there's some things you need to take down off of your social media page. Maybe there's some conversations you need to have. I don't know. By the way, I'm friends with some people on Facebook. That's not why I'm preaching this today, okay? I didn't see something, and pastor saw what I posted. No, I did not, okay? I see it, though. I know it's out there. And then thirdly, if the dishonor in the world bothers you, what are you doing about it? What do you mean, what am I doing about it? Well, getting all upset's not going to do anything. Then you'll have to go to the doctor and get more blood pressure medication. Forget that. God calls you to be the change that you want to see in the world. We are called to be the change. So let us honor God this week. You know what would honor the Lord? I'll tell you this. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say, "Pastor, if I were to die today, I'm not sure where I'd go for eternity." It would honor the Lord if you would accept His gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross and rose again for your sins, paying the way completely. And through Jesus Christ alone, you may have a relationship with God. You can do that today. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. If God has spoken to your heart, take this opportunity during the invitation. Talk to the Lord. Maybe commit to Him. Maybe talk to the Lord and say, you know what, I'm going to make it up with that individual. Forgive me, God, and give me the opportunity. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know what, I need to get saved. I don't know if I'm saved, but I need to. During our invitation, if you need prayer, if you need to accept Christ as your Savior, why don't you come on down? We'll pair you up with somebody if you need prayer, need to trust Christ as Savior. If you're a lady, we'll put you with a lady. If you're a man, with a man. Talk to the Lord during this invitation time.